24th of May, and we all went over to Ruston Prairie. And that was a real deal, yeah.
Say that this is Ruby Edwards interviewing Katie Hogg.
Thank you, Jen. Mrs. Hogg, okay, we're just going to go sort of basically question by question, if that's okay with you. And, of course, the first one was the earliest memory, so you're thinking of the school picnic, or actually the earliest memories of your parents.
Well,
what do you remember about your parents as a child, when you were a child?
Yes, I remember, walking to Bradner's store. We had a bath, and we got all dressed up to go down to Bradner's store. And it was just a dirt road, you know.
Mm-hmm. And how far was the store from your house?
I would say fairly close to 3 miles.
And was it a large store, or was there?
Just the same store that's there. Well, I mean the same type of store, just a general store.
And was this quite a...
Sort of
a treat for the children to go to the store?
Oh, yes. If you were lucky, you might get an ice cream cone or a chocolate bar, if you were lucky.
Okay. And did you ever find out from your mom and dad, did they ever tell you how they met?
No, not really. They met in Vancouver, but I don't know, how or what.
But maybe it was a blind date, or it was a picnic or a dance, or...
Probably a dance, but I wouldn't know for sure.
Okay. And, all right, your mom and dad, both came from Europe.
Yeah.
From Europe and Sweden. Okay. Did they ever say why they came to this country? Why they left their own homeland?
Well, my dad, his mother and dad had both died, and he had an older brother who was coming, so I guess they had to take him with them. You know, there was just nowhere else to go, sort of thing. You know, there's not much future, I guess, in Europe. So
mm-hmm.
He just came with them.
So he came with his older brother. And what about your mom? Why did she come here from Sweden?
Well, she did have an older brother in Vancouver, and she just wanted to get away and leave home, that's all.
Felt it was time.
Yes, that's right. She was kind of the adventurous type of me.
And did you make a list here of any brothers and sisters you had?
Just one brother, yes. He was born in the old chicken house.
Sounds like this chicken house was a good place to live here.
It was. We had fun.
Well, that's good. That's good. And his first name is?
Matthew.
M-A-T-T?
M-A-T-H-E-W-1.
20. Okay. And did he have a middle name?
No, his nickname is Sonny. That's the only name he's known as around whole history.
Good. And he was born here.
Yeah, on the farm.
Okay. And do you remember when?
Yes, I do remember when he was born, March 13th, 1921. They wonder how far back you can remember, and I remember Dr. McBurney came from Langley, the doctor would come to the house, and they were so busy looking after the birth of this baby and everything, they left me standing in the cradle, and I remember I had a stitch of clothes on and I was embarrassed. That's funny, but that thing just... I mean, I can really, it's vaguely in my mind that there was something wrong with this dress.
But nobody's paying attention.
Nobody's paying attention.
And do you remember who Sonny married?
Eunice Israel.
And do you remember when?
March the 21st, 1946. 46 and St. Dan.
And do you remember where?
No, in the United Church.
Well, that was a busy place, too.
Yeah.
And that was Yunus?
Yunus, yeah.
Israel.
Israel?
Israel. Well, we've come across that name.
Well, that's very old, huh?
Yeah. And where did they, when they got married, where did they basically reside then?
On the Bradner Road, exactly. Like I say, there wasn't no numbers at that time, but it was closer to Bradner, about a half a mile from the old farm that Mom and Dad lived on.
And are they still both with us?
They're both with us, and they still live on the Bradner Road, just overlooking Glen Valley, right up on the hill.
Oh, how nice. And no sisters. So how many years older are you than Matthew?
2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Hear him tell it, think I was old.
But like that.
We're not old, we're just getting better. And do you have a good relationship with Matthew? Did you get into mischief or did the usual children things?
Did we ever?
Yeah, so you had a pretty good relationship with him?
Yeah, we fought. We had our fights, but we got along well. Yeah, still do.
Good. Oh, just because I'm writing, don't stop talking. Just carry right on.
I was always responsible because you know better. You're older. That's the way it was. He used to make sure he got into school because he'd like to sneak away and not go in there if he had a chance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what family activities do you remember as a child?
Well, it was mainly visiting neighbors and playing and going down to Nicholson's Creek to fish and things like that. It was just, and then like when we got older, it was dancing.
And how far is Nicholson's Creek from your home?
Gee, about 3 miles, I guess.
Were you good fishermen?
We thought we were. You know, we just had these little lines and caught the small fish, but we always cooked. It was fun.
What was the neighborhood like when where you grew up?
It was wonderful. They were all young people from every nationality you could imagine. You know, and it was just like one big family, really. They all helped one another out. And if you had to stay at one of the neighbor's houses and you got into mischief, you got to swat the same as the rest of the kids. There's no, you know.
There was no favoritism. No. Just because you're the neighbor doesn't mean anything, right?
No such thing as child abuse that in those days. They just give you a whack. You know what you got for.
Okay, this is now Bradner Road. This is McTavish. This is where you lived, right?
We lived on the west side of
that
Bradner.
Is this is Bradner.
Yeah,
this is the west side.
Uh-huh.
This is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's north.
Right. Yeah.
So you live there?
Yeah. There was 20 acres here, and then we were the next 20 acres.
Okay. Now you're saying there's a water tower.
There is a water tower there, but there was an old bachelor that lived there. His name was Jack Clary. He was very shell-shocked from the First World War.
Do you want to spell Jack's last name?
Clary.
C-L-A-R-Y?
Yeah.
Now, if I give you the pen, do you remember, say, who lived on this side or across the street?
There wasn't a house from the corner of McTavish right down to the came to McCarvey's. Even after I was married, there was, well, in the house along that way. But next to us was people by the name of McKenzie's.
Mm-hmm.
And who bought the place next? Partners were next to them.
Okay. Well, this is McKenzie's.
Mm-hmm. Partner, C-O-R-T.
T-N?
Partner.
Ian?
N-E-R.
Okay.
And then Kozanski's had the next place, K-U-Z.
That is a mouthful.
K-U-Z. O-N-S-K-I. They were very best friends. That's one from back and forth. Well, Carolyn Lundeberg, you know her?
Oh, yeah.
She was Kozanski. And next to them were keepers. They were the original owners. And then the school was next to that.
Mm-hmm. What about across the street?
There were no homes all along there. There's no homes at all.
So there's no homes down here in Bradley?
Along here, yes. Mm-hmm. There was the McTavish Road and Croker's lived here.
In the corner?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then next to them was there were people by the name of Camerons. Who in the world met the place next to that? Oh, Nylene's. I don't know don't ask me how to spell that.
How do you pronounce it again?
Nylene.
Nylene.
They were Scandinavian. And why, I think it was. Nobody else will know anyways.
we'll see what we can...
And then Mott was next to them.
M-O-T-T?
Yes. Do you know Mrs. Kane?
I don't think.
Well, she was the only daughter of Mott. She lives in Aldergrove somewhere now. And, well, across the... There's people across the road then.
Across from Mott's?
The Pelons lived. Going. And then next to them was Conrad.
Going which way?
Going towards Bradner.
But we are on Bradner.
Yeah, well, I mean, say going north.
Going north?
Going south.
Okay, Pelons lived across from Ma.
Yeah, and then Conrad's were next. That was a daughter of Pelons.
On this side?
Same side as Pelons, yeah.
Yeah, but which side of Pelons, though?
Oh. This side, closer to going to Bradner. K-O-N.
Oh, it's K-O-N.
And next to them was Mrs. Anderson in that place. And then we went down the Star Road a bit, and Mr. Sunstrom.
Is Star Road down here
Star
somewhere?
Star Road is right across, yeah.
And where would he
live? Oh, Star Road would have been right by Mrs. Anderson's.
She lived on the corner?
She lived on the corner, yeah. Drummond's lived there.
Okay, we'll put here Star Road.
And we just went around down the Star Road a bit here, just a short distance with Mr. Sunstrom bar place.
So his property would then go this way?
Well, it was sort of was the second. It was Carlson had this, my mother's brother had that. And then there's a piece back there, and that was Mr. Sunstrom, and this is Carlson's father. That's how these people got up there. One would tell the other, you see. And it was just a very primitive living those days.
Right. Okay, well, that's good. We've got a pretty good neighborhood going there.
But further on was the Evanovs and the, you know, well, Rists. Lived right next to the school, the other side of the school, and he donated the property where Julie's school was built on, Mr. Wilson. They were neighbors, one of the older regional neighbors at that time.
Okay, well, let's carry on down the street here then. I got lots of paper, don't worry about it.
Well, I didn't have, I was running around looking for paper.
Okay, so this is Jubilee School?
Yeah. And RIST, Mr. Rist, had the paper there.
Okay.
And then Smiths were next to them. She was one of the midwives. She delivered the fowls kids and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And then Evanovs lived next to that. Mm-hmm. And then that was the end of the road there before you went down to Pemberton Hills.
So Pemberton Hill would be down around here?
It would go down in that area, mm-hmm. and then you turned the Marsh McCormick Road that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just McCormick's and Marsh's, and there, and the Gibsons lived on the opposite side.
Oh, that's great. So you got your neighborhood.
That's the people that were there at that time, and then of course changes from the whole. But they were the original ones that you remember.
So how many years did you live then in this piece of property?
My mother and dad?
You yourself first.
Oh, 23 years. Very close.
And what about your mom and dad?
They were there till 1959.
Do you remember when he bought it?
In 1919. When they sold that, when they sold the farm, they moved down the Bradner Road to the corner of Star and Bradner. They owned that.
That's over here.
Yeah. They bought the piece of property that belonged to her brother.
To Carson's?
Carlson, yeah.
Carlson.
About 7 acres there.
When you were a youngster, did your mom and dad take you on vacations?
We never got vacations, no. No one did, I don't think, at that time.
There was such thing as vacation?
We got a day off from doing chores, you were lucky.
That's right. Vacation weren't long.
Mind you, we
only
did.
Only the rich.
We did get into Vancouver once in a while. Like, we had friends who lived in Hastings Park, and we would go and visit them. But I mean, there's no such thing as a real holiday.
When you were a youngster, were there other people who were important to you in your early years? Usually it might be a special aunt or an uncle, or it might be someone's mom down the road.
I had an uncle, my mother's brother, who lived in Vancouver at that time.
And his name was?
Ole Carlson.
Is that O-L-Y?
O-L-L-E.
O-L-L-E, okay. And why was he so special?
Well, I guess it's because when he came from Sweden, he stayed with us. We were, I would say, I guess about 4 years old, and somebody different and young. So then when he, over the years, he used to always come out on the BC Electric tram, and he would bring candy, which was a big treat.
Oh!
But he was always, you remember old,
yeah.
He would always paid attention to us in that. BC Electric, that was really something, the tram, you know, they used to run.
They're farther ahead of those days than they are now.
Far better, three times a day.
Did you travel on the BC Electric yourself?
Oh, yes. We all did, I guess, one time or another.
And did your mom and dad ever invest in a vehicle when you were a youngster, or were they still with the horse, or?
No, we did have an old Ford car years ago, yeah, with side curtains, you know, those old kind.
Did you ever try driving it yourself?
No. I never learned to drive till I was 47.
Usually, if somebody's got a lot of property, the kids will learn how to drive at an early age.
Yeah.
On tractors or cars or something.
Well, you know, those days you didn't.
Okay. Your husband's first name?
Claude.
C-L?
U-D-E.
And do you have a middle name?
Russell.
R-U-S-S-E.
Yep.
One L or two?
I think it's only one. Just one or two L's and Russell, do you know?
Not even how you.
I don't remember how you did. He just always signed himself C-R-O, so I never paid any attention.
And do you remember where he was born?
I'm not sure where he's born, in Vancouver, but he...
Do you remember when he was born?
Yeah, March the 28th, 1910.
And what nationality would he be then? But his parents?
Irish English. We were mixed up a bunch.
You're right, 157. So he lived mainly in?
Mount Lehman.
Mount Lehman?
Straight down to the Bryan Road.
Part of his normal territory.
Right.
They had better dance with the Bradner, obviously.
We had to dance with Jubilee too.
And is your husband still with us?
No. Mm-hmm.
And let me ask when he passed away.
4 years in March, huh? That would be 4 years ago. What date was that?
It's 91, so that would have been 87. 87,
yeah, and 8 in March, 87. It was March the 5th, 87.
Okay, and that would have been at Mount Lehman.
Okay, in Abbotsford. Where did you
Okay. Now, this one could get a little spicy-dicey. May I ask how you met your husband? Oh, when? Gosh.
I've known him all my life, but didn't pay too much attention to him. I don't know, he just there.
All right, well, what triggered it then?
Right, yeah, there must have been something.
I went out with him once. He used to take my girlfriend out all the time, so I thought, he said that. Talking about going to a dance down to, I don't know where we were going, but anyway, I ran all the way down the bottom of Pemberton Hill to tell her that Hopper, we called him, his name was Claude, we called him Claude Hopper. The Hopper wanted to take her to the dance. Well, she came up and stayed at our place, and we're going to the dance. He says, you're going with me. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, then I got all nervous because I'll prove you, see. But anyway, I was 16 then, and I never went out with him again till I guess I was about 19 or 20 or something like that.
No, that's cute. That's really a cute story.
If I could go on for hours. No, Peter said this was just going to be a few questions asked.
So if you decide you want to leave and come back at a later date.
Oh, no, I want to get this done.
I want to get this done.
Yeah.
When you did get married, was there anything special that Claude did for, like, just before you got married?
No.
Your courtship?
No.
Was he one of these nice gentlemen that got down on one knee?
No, no. One time I thought, you know what he was.
Yeah.
What you saw is what you got.
I could see him on a knee.
So one time we were already married, and I thought I don't know where we were going, but I was waiting for him to open the door. I said, oh, get out, what's the matter with you? What are you waiting for? Get out the door. No, you'd have to know him to understand.
And did you go anywhere special on your honeymoon?
No. The different thing was we were married by P.A. Gilardi. You know, that was something.
Pardon?
We were married by Phil Gilardi.
Was he a...
He was a minister. He had a little church down in Langley at the time.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I was picking berries with some kids, and they were talking about their mother and dad, the Andrews, you know. Mm-hmm. They got married, I forget the special place in England, and I says, yeah, some special place, and I says, well, I was married by P.A. Gilardi, Flying Bill.
Flying Bill.
Oh, he's been called that and other things.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went to Jubilee School?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you go anywhere else?
No. At that time, they didn't even have a school bus, you know, to the high schools, so I didn't get anywhere.
Mm-hmm. May I ask how many years you were at Jubilee?
8 years.
8 years.
Oh, okay. Why did you go to Langley together when Mount Lehman is closer?
Well, my husband just went there, and he talk to the minister. That's it. We didn't have a big do, you know. We had a big shivery at the Jubilee Hall later. That was when they...
Was there anything about your school that you remember? Any of your teachers or special good friends or...
Yes, I have lots of memories there. I mean, we had, some of the teachers I liked, some I didn't. I can't read. Like I say, our school picnic was the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that sounds good.
And our Christmas concerts.
Mm-hmm. Social events of the year,
yeah, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially the Christmas concert. You know, mm-hmm. They really went all out, got the biggest tree you could get and decorated it and strung a wire across the front and hung up sheets, and we had our concert. Had a big Santa Claus and one of the fathers. You know.
Oh, those are good memories.
Yeah. It's fun.
Did you ever leave home from when... Okay, you were living at home.
Yes.
Did you ever leave home and then return home and then
not too
got
far.
Married?
No, just we worked out it, but just out of Mount Lehman and then, you know, locally. Those were the hard times, you know, we didn't get to
what work. Do you mean you worked out?
And housework and that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
See, kids don't know about those things now.
So you moved out of your mom and dad's home and became just, like a housekeeper?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was there a church close by that you went to?
No, there wasn't, but we had church in the school, and there'd be every denomination on that imaginable. We all went, regardless of what
it was held in Jubilee School?
Jubilee School, yeah.
Oh, good.
And the one who on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Bernice Girard, she went to school with us. Now she's a minister, of course. But there was Frank Amy, he used to come and preach. He was sort of a Pentecostal, I think. And then there was the old Presbyterian minister would come up and he would preach, and with different ones that would come and we'd all go to church. Some social thing.
Was there somebody that said, okay, this week it's going to be so-and-so, or they'd come for
they
a month?
Come, they would come for maybe a year, and then they'd decide someone else would come in.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of had like a traveling minister for...
Exactly, yeah.
And you never know who you were getting.
No, and then one year, the two, I don't know what they call this church, well, the two ladies, they come by twos and they preach, you know. And they spent the whole winter there. Well, they were at school three times a week, and we all went three times a week because it was a really snowy winter, so it was something for us to do. And that's when Bernice was converted to that faith.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Those are Seventh-day Adventists?
No, they're not. They don't have a church. They have meetings in homes. And, like, the Gibsons and the Drummonds belong to that. And I don't know really what you would call them. We call them two-by-twos because they travel around.
That's good. Well, I like this lady.
They travel in
And the special things the church group did for the children, did you have like church dances? And
oh, no, nothing like that. It was just strictly the church.
Just strictly religion?
Yeah.
I could listen to you all afternoon.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people like that, you know, like Mrs. Boyle that wrote three pages of his. There are so many interesting things that you can talk about.
And it's the funny little things that people have got tucked away that all of a sudden come out and are the most fascinating stories. When you were a child, the weather, was there anything really outstanding that happened that you remembered?
Well, we used to have some very bad winters, and I remember it was in about 1934 or 35. The milk truck couldn't come around, the mailman couldn't come around, and as soon as the weather, we had that very bad ice storm.
Mm-hmm. So that was the worst winter that you figure you ever had?
I think it was, but there was quite a few bad winters.
So basically nobody got out to do anything.
Oh no. And I remember when the weather broke enough that all the guys were out of tobacco and the women were running short of coffee in the tree, and there was a little trail that you'd see all the old fellows walking down the store to get their the back room is where we get the coffee and tea.
What about medical attention with doctors and things like that? You were saying that... Who was it here?
My brother was born, Dr.
Mrs. Smith was a midwife.
Yeah.
Was she also sort of the neighborhood doctor then as well?
No. She was a funny, strange English lady. Oh, you'd laugh at her. Mm-hmm. She used to tell some great tales. I could never imagine her being a midwife, but she delivered three of our friends' kids, and I thought she was okay, you know. And then there was a Mrs. Dennis, and that was Mrs. Boyle's mother. She was a midwife also, but we never had any real medical attention, you know. You just...
What about accidents that would happen on the farm? Who would attend to that?
Well, they would have to be taken into Langley or Abbotsford. Mm-hmm.
You know. And there was a hospital at each
yes.
area?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when the war came, do you remember how it affected the residents in the community, in the area? With work, with wages, with supplies, or anything like
well,
that?
Well, we couldn't get tea or coffee. We had the ration for coffee
and the ration
and butter was rationed too.
Sugar.
Liquor, yeah.
Well, you had your rum runners.
Of course, that didn't affect it too much. People made their own homebrew wine.
Okay. And down for, you were saying that you went to Jubilee for about 8 years or so. Did you take up any kind of a trade after that?
No.
Okay. And did you belong to any kind of a club, a girls' club? Like
well,
we have the girl guides and things like that now?
Quite, yeah. Well, but then they decided they wanted to build a community hall, you know, there. So they started the community club, and then the younger, like girls out of school, like mine,
mm-hmm.
we were about 17, 16, we started a club too.
And do you remember what it was called?
The Busy Bees.
Busy Bees. Well, there you go. And what did you actually do in this club besides talk about boys?
Oh, we didn't talk about boys. Mrs. McMullen was the head of it. She was a very strict lady. No, we'd, we'd do sewing for the bazaar, like, and, we did all kinds of things. Maybe even collect these dried flowers and spray paint them and everything and sell it for sale. And then they had the big bazaar. Oh, we'd have dances, too. We'd look after the dances. Mm-hmm. And then social evenings at the school to earn money for it and have raffles. We earned the money to have the floor that's put in the hall right now.
So basically, you were almost like a fundraising
group. Yeah, we were. Exactly.
Doing just various little things.
Yeah. And we didn't earn enough money to have that floor.
And that was the floor to?
Jubilee Hall.
Is it still the existing floor?
Yeah.
Were you involved in any kind of sports? Was there a gym or a special place where any kind of sports were held?
No, but they did, Tommy Rubin did start pro rec, you know, whenever that started in the...
What is that?
Well, it was the same as, the BC government did that. It was, you did exercises and all that, yeah.
Aerobics?
Not aerobics, mm-hmm. exactly, but sort of that type of thing, not as strenuous as aerobics. And that was in the, that would be about 38 or so, wasn't it?
38.
And what was Tom's last name?
Reuben.
R-U-B-I-N?
R-U-B-E-N, I think.
R-U-B-E-N?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
He's still going strong at night.
Oh, yeah.
Is he? And do you have any special hobbies that you do, or play musical instruments?
No. Nope.
Do you paint or
nope.
draw? Or?
Garden.
Gardening! Good old gardening. Very good stress reliever.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, garden. And those seamsters are good for nothing else.
What do you like? Flowers or vegetables? Or
just the whole thing. Lawn, garden. Just
They say it's good therapy. If you're frustrated, go outside and do gardening.
Yeah, I felt that, like, after Hopper died in March, and, you know, everything had to be done right away, and I think it was really good because it took your mind off of.
Yeah. Well, even now, you get all uptight.
Yeah.
Go out and pull some weeds and do something outside. It's good therapy. And did you receive, throughout your childhood, or even up until now, any kind of awards or special...
Recognitions
for something?
No.
Okay. And do you remember what was the first thing that you and your husband purchased as a means of transportation?
Oh, he had an old 29 Chev when we got married.
Is that right?
Something good.
Hmm. Do you realize how much that would be worth now?
Yeah, no.
And the clothing styles back when you were children, was there something that you had that you felt you just didn't want it to wear out? Because you would wear it and wear it and wear it and wear it.
We also wore the neighbor's kids' clothes. This is what they did. They would all hang.
Yeah.
And I remember my mother sent for one of the Mr. Woodward for Simpsons for a sailor dress for me. It was blue serge with a, you know, a braid and all that. And of course, it was too big. I'm small. You know. And so the neighbor, Mrs. Croker, bought it for Dorothy. Well, gee, was I browned off, I tell you. But no, we just wore clothes. Like I say, we wore them and wore them. And if you outgrew them, the neighbor got them, and that's the way we did things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just pass it around.
Pass it around, yeah.
But there wasn't anything that you really sort of got attached to.
I don't remember anything.
Sometimes it's a sweater or a certain dress that you'd love putting a certain dress on all the time.
Well, in our day, you know, you had one good outfit for school, and when you came home, you took it off and got into the rags.
Do you remember when you first got married, you got your first telephone or radios or TVs or anything like that?
Well, when we first got married, we lived in a little house in Mount Lehman, and then we moved to Whitehorse, and then came back to Castlegar. So I never got a phone till I moved to Clearbrook. That was in the 50s. That's the first phone I had. That's the first TV I had, too. We had radio, of course.
Okay, that was in Clearbrook. And did you have some favorite pets when you were a child?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we always had a dog.
Yeah, but you must have had one that you were really, really fond of.
Yes. We had this dog. We called him Luffy. Of all things,
Luffy,
so he got Luffy.
Now, how would you spell Luffy?
Luppy, I guess.
That sounds good enough. And what was so special about Luffy?
Well, just everything. He was just the most perfect dog you ever saw. Just an ordinary dog, but he was perfect.
Okay. Well, that's basically about it.
Oh, good. Very good.
So I've got your roadmap here, and I've got info there, and the information that you've brought.
Why do I have three of these? One for yourself and one for each kid. Oh, for your twins.
So there you are.
I feel like you're going up the nose. Now, do you want us to bring this back, or
no?
Or just keep it for ourselves?
No, you could bring it back.
Now mine will have to go from 1938 because my childhood memories are from the first.
Oh yeah, but you're still part of it.
The interesting part about her was she was born in the sod house, and they got a beautiful picture of that sod house.
Nice.
Yeah. And why your family came here?
Yeah. Yeah. 29 years old, and I came from my childhood was on the prairies.
Mrs. Hobb, would your father strictly a farmer, or did he have another occupation?
No, he was logging. He was a better logger than he was a farmer, but he loved the land. You know, he came with his brother, and he never saw the brother after they dumped him off here, and that was it. He never saw his brother. He went out to States, and that was it. Never ever saw him again.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I would sort of like to know, any idea where in the States he went?
I don't really know. We'd like, my brother and I would sort of like to find out if there's any cousins there in the States. Must have. He was older than me.
Did he work for a certain sawmill, or was he an independent logger?
No, he worked for different logging companies up the coast mainly. And then he worked at Phillips's mill at Bradner Rand. That was a lot of people worked there. Do you know Kathy Monahan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she lives across the street from me now. But her dad worked with my dad at the mill.
Oh,
Rand. And I didn't realize that till they moved there. Kathy moved to Cosby. I forget when she moved in across from me. And then they had a New Year's Eve party, so they asked us over. And she was going around just talking, so she asked me about where I grew up. And I said, oh, down the Baton Road. And then she said, oh, we used to visit down there. I said, you're not Jim Monahan's daughter. She said, yeah. She got so surprised to hear. So Dad was so excited when he found out that he knew me.
Now, what about your father? You said he would have had
that. Well, he was just a... He was just a funny old character. Well, last he was minding everybody's business in a kindly sort of a way, you know. I mean, he was concerned. He rented a little house up at the corner, like he had another house that he lived in. This young girl rented the house, and he'd look up and, Cindy left her light on again. That's going to cost her money. Gee whiz, he worried about all these things, you know. And what are you doing this for? He told three different people, but just the things he did, he was... Just a few days before he died, a few days before his 91st birthday. But up until then, he did all his own garden, his yard, and his freezer was just jammed to the top with stuff that he, and I mean, well done, like peas and corn and all that, out of his garden. And, well, you know what he was like.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a leak in his roof in the carport. And so, well, you know how they are brought up during those hard times. You're not going to go hire anyone to put a new roof on. So he decided he'd patch that roof himself. So he lit a fire outside and got this old thing of tar and got it boiling hot, carried that up on the roof and poured it on the... it was a tar and gravel roof. Poured it on the roof. Of course, he didn't care where it ran down the side of the stucco house.
What age was he when he did that?
He was 90
years old.
He told my husband, he says to me, well, he said, I got the leak fixed. He says, my husband, see how you painted the house.
Can you imagine carrying that hot pan
up the and then, like, we couldn't always get rid of junk at our place, so if there was anything my husband wanted to get rid of, like it was an old ladder, had a step missing, an old wooden ladder he made, so he thought, well, I'll take it down there and burn it down there. So he just left it there and thought, well, to get more junk, he'd burn it. And up there, his dad's using the ladder. He says, I told you not to use that thing. There's a step missing. He says, yeah, but I know where the step's missing. he never lost his accent. It's funny, you know, like he had such a... And yet he was never around people of his own nationality that he could speak to. But he just had that real heavy accent. My husband used to say, oh, your old man sure murders the king's English. but there's fault in the law. Then he, he can come in, can he?
Oh, sure.
Come on in, Bill, we're all.
Yeah.
You're being educated and entertained by these two lovely ladies here.
Asking me about that.